Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? You're listening to Around the World with Dan Perry. Do you enjoy hearing tales of world adventure? Would you like travel advice from those who know the road well? Maybe you want to embark on a journey of your own, and you just need a bit of motivation to get started. You'll find all of that and more on Around the World with Dan Perry.
Summer sure is flying by. I'm sitting here in West Bend, Wisconsin. Been home for close to 5 weeks now, I think, and only about a week to go before Katie and I take off for Iceland. We still haven't really planned anything for this trip other than the really big picture stuff of like what country we kind of want to be in at certain times. But I think coming up pretty soon, we'll start looking at maybe different hikes to do in Iceland for the time that we're there, and then Finland and all the time ahead. Most of this trip's just going to be winging it, which I'm not only okay with, but I actually look forward to doing. But that's coming up very soon, and I will plan to keep this podcast going as soon as we leave on a regular basis. Look forward to doing that, and thanks for everyone for all of your support and for listening in. It's going to be a great year coming up. So for this week, this episode, I've got a special guest returning to the show is Morgan McKinnon. She's a great friend. Katie and I lived with her. She was our roommate for 2 years in Beijing. And you're going to learn about her story of coming to China and kind of what point she was at when she came there and what point she was at when she left. And she has gone through a stunning transformation, to say the least. Well, let's get right into it and listen to my talk with Morgan McKinnon. Sex and beer.
Sex and beer. These are two things we hold dear.
Shout out to Pat McCurdy, if you're listening.
Sponsored by Pat McCurdy.
We saw him last
Morgan
night.
Morgan thought it was Paul.
Paul McCurdy?
Yeah.
Or Paul McCartney?
Paul McCurdy.
Huh.
Oh, McCartney. I didn't even make the connection.
Yeah, well, that'd be a good idea if your name is Paul McCurdy to start a band and call it like Springs.
I was thinking of something other than a beetle that's like a funny bug.
Oh, yeah. Right. You could go that way, too. Yeah. Be like the praying mantises
the
or something.
Grasshoppers. Yeah. The crickets.
Right. And then everyone would either think you're a parody type band, or maybe they think you're the real deal.
Or you might be the real deal.
And then you'd become famous.
It's true.
Ride it all the way. So welcome to Wisconsin.
Thanks. Did we start?
Yes.
Okay. You can add that in there. Thanks. I like Wisconsin. Super naturey. So, and all the fields and the cities, quote unquote.
She's using air quotes.
It's definitely not Beijing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's nice. Blue skies, clouds. Yeah.
That's right. We do have lovely skies here. And that's always a great thing about coming back home. Just breathing clean air.
Because I flew into Budapest first. It was like even going there, like everywhere else, except for some of those Asian countries, India, Beijing, or China, and other places. Like, it's like, oh my God, blue skies.
Yeah, you can actually see it.
I can breathe. So, yeah, it's good.
Right. So we've been home for maybe a month now. Lungs are cleared.
Yep.
What are you doing up here in Wisconsin?
So my mother's best friend, maid of honor from her wedding like 35 years ago, lives in Milwaukee. And my mom's disabled. She doesn't travel a lot, but I take my dad around. And I was like, let's go see your best friend. And then you and Katie and Moses happened to live here, so it was like a win-win. I could see your guys' hometown, hang out with you while my mom is off gallivanting, air quotes, around.
as much as she can.
As much as she can with a cane. Yeah. So it was definitely interesting because we also brought the kids, and it was interesting to like go through security and everything. Like, it's not just me, and I have to worry about my disabled mother and two children, and I was like a totally different feeling.
Oh, right. Yeah. But was it easier than normal because of the?
Yeah, we got to go through TSA, so we were in like security with like 10 minutes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
They just move you to the front of the line.
But I've traveled so much now that I felt like the security person with my niece and nephew, because I was like, okay, do you got liquids in there? Do you have any iPhones? What's happening in your bags? Like, take it out.
Right, because it was their first time flying, so they might not know this stuff.
Yeah, but through TSA, and you didn't have to take off your shoes. So Jasmine was a little bit disappointed in that because she was like already prepared. She knew that she might have to take off her shoes and do this and that. Yeah, but it was fun to see like flying in a children's perspective, because we've done it so much we could care less. We're just like, okay, get on there, get off, you know, like flying's our least favorite part of the travel experience. But watching their faces and like seeing them like look out the window, and like they saw Lake Michigan, and they were just really excited, so it was cool.
It's a big lake.
They thought it was a river at one point.
A river?
They were like, hey, look at that really beautiful river. And I was like, my mom goes, if that's a river, I don't know where you're from.
That's one wide river.
So, yeah, it was really cool. Because then it also reminds you to kind of like stop and look at those things. Because, you know, we ride on planes and we're like, you kind of miss a lot of the views and a lot of those things. So we don't really...
Yeah.
Look maybe out anymore. And you did. It was beautiful when you flew in to see the lake and the nature. And so I was like, oh, I need to stop and actually enjoy it sometimes, because I just want to get to my destination on a plane. I went off that plane away from all the people. People are annoying. People want to get up right away and like out off the plane. Everybody's bumping into each other. And so it was like interesting.
Oh, that's one thing that gets me, especially on those longer flights. You can sit there for 14 hours.
Yeah.
No problem. No problem at all. You're in your seat. And then
you can't
wait 5 more minutes for them to pull up to the thing.
Yeah.
Like,
especially in China, because Chinese people, I always say, are like out for themselves, and they just think, I need to get there. I could care less what's happening around me.
Yeah.
So they just get up and they're like trying to get their bags. The stewardess, that's really old, flight attendants are yelling at them, we haven't even gotten to the gate yet.
Yeah. The ground is still 100 feet below us. Yeah. Please remain seated. Yeah.
So you learn to just kind of sit there and wait it out, because you don't want to be a part of that catastrophe.
Right. On our first flight going to China from Seattle, mm-hmm. So Katie and I had never been to Asia at the time. And we got on the plane, and almost everyone on the plane was Chinese. Mm-hmm. And before we even started moving, there, like, 4 people were shoving each other and fighting and like trying to get into a seat and trying to move their bags around, each other's stuff around. And they're all yelling at each other. We didn't understand a word of it. We're like, oh my God, what are we getting ourselves into?
And you're kind of, now that I've been here, you're kind of used to quiet and like polite, and people are kind to each other.
Oh yeah, excessively so.
Yeah.
And I'm always afraid of being rude when I come home.
So the scariest moment, I remember flying into Beijing for the first time, and I was kind of like, it was very spontaneous going to Beijing. Like, they wanted me there in a week. So I didn't have much chance to like really think about this. So I get there, it was all Chinese plane, and I get there, and there's this woman in baggage claim getting arrested and screaming.
Oh, in Beijing?
In Beijing. And I was like, oh my God, what did she get arrested for? Can you get arrested for anything? Can I talk? Am I, you know, like, I'm just thinking, okay. She obviously did something. Like, this doesn't happen all the time. But I had to like put that in my mind, because when you're first landing, it's your first trip abroad, and this woman is getting arrested. You're like, oh God.
Wow. Was she Chinese? Or?
Chinese, yeah.
Huh.
And she's screaming, and she's like, ah, like being really dramatic. And
wow.
Yeah. So that was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, like, for people listening, like, you don't just get arrested for nothing.
No. I mean, but it's your first time. You kind of get worried. But then you're like, when you live there and you're like, okay, no.
I know. And people tend to have this thought about China, this idea that they just throw people in prison or whatever.
Well, somebody asked me the other day, like, why did you live in Beijing? And, like, weren't you scared to, like, talk about anything? And I'm like, you could talk about whatever you want. Just don't go up to, like, the government officials and start protesting and screaming things. You're fine. Like,
oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
And they think like the censorship of like the internet and all that. And they're like, well, oh, it's the guy at Best Buy. I went to go get my computer fixed. And the guy at Best Buy was like, well, aren't you worried to have anything on your computer and like send emails? And I'm like, There's billions of people there. They're not watching my computer.
Wait a minute. They're worried about the Chinese government reading your emails?
Yeah, and
like our own government reads all of our emails.
Yeah.
They've already admitted this.
Paranoia.
It's out there.
I'm telling you. So funny.
It's not even paranoia. It's true.
No, I mean
it's
totally paranoia true. About like going abroad.
About them doing it. Yeah. Well, I guess that's a reason why we travel. One reason is just to see what it's really like. And it's rarely what you think it is.
It is. It's completely different.
Definitely like, not what's
Chinese
in the news.
Culture was totally different than what I expected. So now I'm like excited to experience new cultures, new things. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's next?
So I did 5 years in Beijing. I was telling Katie that I was, you know, the last year would have probably been a loss if I didn't do like the whole like weight loss and everything. And like that was a good year for me for that because I was comfortable in my school and blah, blah. And then that I felt like 5 years was kind of pushing it. So it was like a good time to finally like say, okay, I'm not getting married here. I'm not going to settle down here. Like, so let's try something new. And so now I'm going to Morocco and I'm really excited about it, kind of experience something new. It's been interesting to like kind of research, like what should I wear? I don't want to offend anybody. Is it super Muslim? It's more modern. I'm excited about that. Like, I don't think I could live in Saudi Arabia or something.
Sure.
So,
well, that's where you go if you just want to bank some money is what I understand.
I've decided it's my new retirement plan.
Yeah. Once you get to be 60, if you are penniless and you have some gambling debts.
Go work in Saudi Arabia. You don't even need a teaching degree. Just go over there and teach some English.
Yeah. So Morocco's more liberal.
It's a little bit more liberal.
Moderate.
Yeah. So what I've learned talking to people that work there is that, you know, you don't want to... if you don't want attention, then don't wear booty shorts and spaghetti strap shirts. And, you know, like, if you don't want attention, don't wear those things.
So you'll be wearing those things.
Yeah. I love attention. So I told somebody the catcalling is like a compliment. Hey. but it's like the, you know, like, so you just, and you don't have to, like, dress like a nun. Just wear something down to your knees and cover your shoulders a little bit. And, like, just don't. If you don't want attention, don't seek it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think you still are going to get some attention because they're enamored by blondes and blue eyes and the white skin and all that. So I will get some attention, but maybe less if I hide from it a little bit.
Sounds good. And it's a little weird talking about it before you've gone there too, though, because
I don't know. Yeah.
We're doing the same thing that we just were making fun of other people for doing.
Yeah,
I just kind of realized that.
Yeah.
Like talking about somewhere you haven't been.
Well, actually, you know, and people have asked me, have you done research? And I haven't done much. My whole thing was just close. I want to be respectful of their culture. So I just like researched, like, what should I wear? What should I bring? What is the weather like too? That's important. But it's, I didn't want to do any research on much else. It's like, I like figuring out. I didn't do any when I went to Beijing.
Sure.
And it was completely, it was fine. Like I was fine. So I was like, I don't like to have a preconceived idea of what it's going to be. I want to know on my own, like what I think or what it really is, you know? So I don't like to do a lot of research on it.
Yeah. I found travelers in general, once they start traveling a long time, get into it, don't really do much before they go.
And what am I going to Google? Like, come on, Morocco, living in Morocco. And the thing about that is you're going to have people's opinions and people's like, story. So like some people go to Beijing and have a completely different experience than what I had. And I've met some really negative people that have like talked about their experience and I'm like, oh, I didn't have that at all. Mm-hmm. So I really think it's important. Like you could read their blogs. It's interesting. They might post some cool pictures and whatever, but you can't base their opinion is not maybe what your story is going to be.
Right, 100%.
So
a lot of it's like your vibe that you bring, your kind of aura that's around you. You know,
and it's like, also like what you make of it. So if you go close-minded and not willing to like kind of branch out and like meet people, and it's all what you want from it, right? So if you go close-minded and like not really willing to kind of take a leap and throw yourself in there, then you're not going to have a good experience. You kind of have to go a little bit outgoing. You can be introverted and still have a good time, but to like go and like just say, okay, I really like this. I'm going to go do that. I like to do yoga. I'm going to go find up these groups that do that. I like this. I'm going to go find groups that do that and throw yourself in there, because there's like something for everybody. So
sure, and it's easier than ever to find these people with the internet and with meetup.com.
Yeah, and they want you to come. These people like want you to, because it's also their passion or their, you know, like the people that are like running these little groups, like they want to keep doing it. So they're going to be super open to you and kind and
sure.
Yeah.
So. Have you ever read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey?
No, I've heard of it.
Yeah, you should. At some point, everyone needs to read this book, because it's like the best kind of self-help book that there is. Well, it's my opinion, but...
Never thought Dan Perry would say he read a self-help book, but keep going.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not fully immersed in that world, but I've dipped my toes in.
Dipped my toes in, yeah.
So I guess I haven't...
What are some of the 7 Habits?
Oh, well, let's see if I can remember them all. Habit 1 is be proactive.
Mm-hmm.
Begin with the end in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Put the first things first. The last three, the last four are kind of tough.
So you almost have to read it to understand what that even means too.
I mean, it's like a 500 page book.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to look at it. I'm always curious, because I always like to better myself too. So.
But yeah,
I'm not
absolutely.
Really into the self-help
the reason
world.
I brought it up is kind of like you were mentioning something that reminded me of a story. So he tells a lot of stories in the book, and one of the stories is, I think he was in Chicago and living there. I might get the cities a little bit wrong, but he met someone who had been living in Florida, and he said they're brand new in Chicago. And he said, "Oh, how do you like Florida?" And they said, "Oh, it's great. The people are so nice. I love meeting new people. I love getting out and seeing things. Nature is amazing," and had all these positive things to say.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "Yeah, I think you'll find pretty much the same thing here." And then he met someone else from like New York or somewhere else. And he said, "Well, what do you think of New York?" And they said, "Oh, it's awful. The people suck. They're so pretentious. And it's just the traffic is bad and it's noisy," and all these negative things.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, about Chicago, he said, "I think you'll find pretty much the same thing here." And so
that's true.
Yeah, the point is, it's what you make of it.
Yeah.
And
you're gonna find both worlds. Yeah.
Yeah, if you bring the right attitude, you're gonna love it no matter where you go.
And it's also like if you go to like a big city or a big place in general, you're gonna find different parts of it that maybe aren't your thing and other parts that are. Like a lot of people didn't love Bar Street and things like that because that's not really their thing.
Right.
But they loved the parks and Beijing and stuff like that. So it's like you kind of have to also find where you fit in a little bit and what parts of the place that you like, you know?
Right. For Katie and me, like the Stanley Tune area, the whole modern part with all the tall skyscrapers and a lot of people, a lot of expensive restaurants and stuff and nightlife, that was not for us.
I'm more of a balanced person.
Yeah, you go
so
out.
I like all the parts. So that's
yes.
funny. Is that like there? And I have friends like that too. I liked going to that part, and I also loved the parks, and I liked going to the hutongs. So I'm open to any of it. But yeah, I get it. Like there's like areas that what is that going to do for me? You know. But if you only go to that, and then you get scared, and you run away, and you go run back to your apartment in the suburbs or whatever, and you don't go check out anything else, then maybe it's not going to work out.
Right. For you. Right.
Yeah.
But I guess the point is, in a big city, and I mean an actual big city, not Madison, Wisconsin, there's going to be something for everybody.
That was
no matter
so
what your
funny.
Interests are.
That was a big city in Wisconsin. I love that.
It's the second biggest city in the state.
It's not that small, but it's just like, it's small compared to what I've seen of cities. Yeah.
There's a couple of buildings that are over 10 stories tall.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty big.
It's funny because I think after we lived in Beijing for so long, we forget how tall those buildings really are and stuff because, like, somebody will come and visit and be like, and look around and be like, "Oh my God, there's so many tall buildings. Look at all of this." And I didn't notice it anymore because I was just so used to it. So I was like, "Oh yeah, they're kind of tall." I forgot. And some people couldn't believe how many restaurants there were. And, you know, so.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's weird. Like, everyone here puts food in their mouths on a daily basis.
Well, you have that many people living in a city, you could have a restaurant that is going to do fine, even though there's 10 right next door to you, you know, so.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And especially when everybody's packed in so tight and
they got to find somewhere to eat because it's a very eating out culture too.
Oh,
so.
Very much, which is awesome about it. But yeah, Beijing, I'm going to miss it. It was a great place to live for a while.
When I was the last week that I was in Beijing, I cried quite a few times because I am going to miss it. And I even said, this was my choice. This was my choice. And I'm crying. I think it's good to leave somewhere feeling that way. Leaving somewhere feeling angry or bitter or not happy with what you did or where you were, then that's not a good feeling to have. So it's like good to like leave somewhere on like that. I'm going to miss this place.
Yeah, you've got good memories.
But if I stay a little bit longer, it might be a little bit too much, you know? So it's like that good, like happy medium.
It's good. You pushed yourself a lot and you grew a lot in the city.
A ton.
5 years.
Yeah, I was...
But you didn't get stuck there your whole life.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not disparaging anyone who does stay there their whole life. Maybe it's what they were meant to do.
Yeah, and they
but
find
you didn't
their...
But you didn't get bored. You didn't get settled in.
No. But I could see myself doing that. And that's kind of like why I like self-reflected and I was like... Okay, I could see myself getting where I was before I left to go to Beijing, comfortable, but not pushing myself anymore, not challenging myself. So maybe this is it, and this is time. So I went into that school year knowing that it was going to be my last, because I kind of knew that was, after the fourth year, I was starting to feel that a little bit. So I was like, okay, one more year, and then I'm out. And it all worked out because you and Katie are leaving, I know, because I'm leaving. And
right. Only because
yeah, only because of me. I know.
Yeah. I think we're. If you think of like a bell curve of, well, maybe bell curve is not a good analogy, but we were kind of at almost a high point in the city. Katie and I were, and I think if we had stayed a couple more years, it still would be pretty high, but kind of getting a little bit like too routine and moving down, but still on that high. So we could have totally stayed another year or two, and. Katie was making good money and she, you know, we would have come out financially better, but it feels good to step into the unknown.
Yeah.
Which is what you're doing too.
Yeah. I like it. Like I'm nervous. I'm really nervous because it's like somewhere new again and I know I'm outgoing and I make friends, but it's still that feeling of, am I going to like these people? Like, you know, or am I going to get along with them? Are we going to have stuff in common? Am I going to find hobbies, you know, whatever. So it's like, a little bit nerve-wracking, not knowing what you're getting yourself into. But I kind of like that feeling, too, of, okay, you know. And it's funny because people call you brave, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm brave or just crazy.
It's a fine line.
So, but I love it. I like that idea of, like, not knowing what's going to happen, you know. And it might be the best 2 years. It might not be my favorite. I might like Beijing more. Who knows? But I need to challenge myself like that. Because Beijing was my first time abroad, so that's the only kind of, like, comparison I have.
So that was your first time ever leaving the country?
No, I left once in, I went to Canada once, that doesn't really count. But I left...
Sorry, Canadians.
Sorry. Love you, Canadians. I left once to go to England, that doesn't really count either, so it was like...
Sorry, Brits.
But it was, you know, because it's comfortable for Americans. Like, everybody speaks English, it's kind of the same thing. Feeling, you know, so I was, I mean, there was obviously a few things that I was like, you call it that? That's funny. But, so going to Beijing was completely, I mean, that was my third country and it was completely different. And I was moving there. It wasn't like I was just going to like do a 2 week tour, you know? So I, that's all I have in my mind of living abroad. So I feel like if you're going to teach internationally and you choose to kind of make that your path now, you can't have one country under your belt like that you've lived in. You kind of have to like spread your wings and like try new things. So
if you want to be one of these international folks.
Yeah. And I'm like, and I do, I've decided I want to like teach abroad. And so I can't just like stay in Beijing. It doesn't really, I don't think it works that way. So.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. It's a good career too, I've found.
I mean, the benefits that teachers get for abroad is amazing. I mean, obviously some countries aren't going to give you what some countries are going to give you. It was funny because when I was interviewing, so I interviewed with Mexico, a Mexican school, Moroccan school, and a Thai school. Thai was a little bit different. But these other two and several others said, we can't pay you what China pays you.
Yeah, straight up. They just...
they say it right away. Listen, our like salary is not comparable. You won't be broke. But it's not comparable. Like, we know how much they pay you guys in Asia, and we don't have that. But also, Morocco, the cost of living and all of that is really cheap. So and it's developing. So it's like, I don't know. I know that a first year teacher, like one of my friends, wouldn't accept it because it was a little bit low, but Mexico's like super low. But if you think about it, like somebody who's coming from like maybe a really small town in the States and from the South or wherever, and they're like really struggling with their teacher salary and they're trying to, and they're kind of bored with their lives, like going to Mexico and making a little over $20,000 and not paying for their flight and their accommodation, that's actually still a pretty good deal for them, you know? So, but I know if you, like that's your first time abroad and you're like happy with that. But I know how much I can make. So it's a little hard for me.
Yeah, it's hard to take a step down.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I'm going to Morocco kind of matching what I was making in Beijing, which I'm fine with, because this time it wasn't really about the salary. It was more about like a new culture, being able to like travel to Europe easily, maybe a little bit of Africa. I've heard it's not really that cheap to travel to some parts of Africa from Morocco, like South Africa and stuff like that.
Oh, so, I guess. You got to cross the desert.
Yeah, so it's not that cheap to do it. But to go to, like, all those places in Europe I wanted to, but not live in Europe, it was a cool idea for me. So I think was a big factor.
And sounds like it's got a lot of pluses.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. So I'm hoping that I really like it. And I've already been talking to some teachers there. And that's another thing about living abroad is everybody's in the same boat. Everybody's so open. So even just, like, texting people that live there and talking to them, like, they're excited to, like, meet a new teacher. You're excited to kind of like throw yourself in there. And so everybody's already been super kind to me. So it's like, I know it's going to be fine. Yeah. So it's just nervous of like, am I going to like the more of the city and the culture and all that, you know?
Right. Right. Your surroundings.
Cause at the end of the day, you do like to feel safe and you do like to feel like that, you know, like that you're, can walk down the street and feel comfortable. Like, and I know I've read many things that it's fine. So, but it's always just that kind of like, I felt the same way about Beijing. Cause also what they talk about here in the news or what they say about these places is totally different than what it is. And love you, Mom. But my mom is even a little bit guilty of that. Are you going to be able to get out? Are you going to be able to get out of Beijing? Mom, I left twice this year. I got out, you know, so it's like, what you keep hearing about, and then you have to learn to like don't listen to what other people think. They haven't been there. So
I know, like, Katie's parents came to China and loved it. Is that going to be a news article? No, doesn't make the news. The good stories don't make the news.
Yeah,
the millions of good stories don't make the news. The dozens of bad ones do, you know.
Exactly. Well, that's what the people want to see. They're going to give what the people want, and they want to see the bad stuff. They want to see the pollution. But then I've met some interesting people here that I haven't done it. And they've even said, but I've heard that it's not like that every day. So some people are smart enough to like kind of realize that, okay, it's not like a polluted sky every single day of the year, you know?
Yeah. So, or even asking about it. I mean, I don't mind if people ask me like, well, how's the pollution there? It's just what annoys me is when people start talking about China.
Yeah.
And they've never been to China.
Yeah.
And I've lived there now for 3 years.
Like, it's true.
One of us has more information than the other.
Yeah.
that we're going with here. And I don't think it's you.
It might be me. So I'm excited just to go somewhere new and try it out. And I already have, everybody wants to come visit me. Morocco is now the destination of choice. And nobody wanted to come visit me when I was in Beijing.
It's funny how that works.
Rude.
Huh.
I was like, no, come. It's different than what you think. And they're like, nah. And a lot of people, though, like their idea of a vacation is beaches and kind of like that beautiful warm weather.
They want to sit down and
chill.
Decompress.
Yeah.
After that stressful job that they've been working at for the last year. That makes sense.
So coming to the urban jungle of Beijing might not be their idea of de-stressing, which I get too. And if you think about it, like, there are people who live in the States that only go, I mean, mostly everybody, one vacation a year.
Sure.
So they're going to choose a destination that's really amazing to them, and Beijing might not be that on that list.
Right.
So.
Except the only thing is, when you know someone who's living there,
especially
in a country like Beijing, or like China, where, like, you can speak some Chinese, you kind of have your favorite spots to go, you can definitely easily get around now. And if you're brand new to China, that can be pretty daunting.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not kind of a well-traveled person.
Mm-hmm.
Just figuring out how to do basic things might be really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Morocco might be a little easier, honestly, mm-hmm. to just, if you don't know anybody there, just to go by yourself.
That's true.
So if it's a country, like, that's really a challenging country and you know someone there, I mean, I would think, like, why not? You know, just kind of jump into their life for a little bit.
Yeah, and I thought was really cool was that in Morocco, it's really cheap to rent a car, too.
Oh, it is.
So I'm kind of excited to maybe drive in a different country. I never got to do that in Beijing.
Right.
And just kind of do it on my own. Because they said it was like the buses and everything are not easy. In Beijing, they were super easy, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're forgetting, I think.
How... Oh, yeah, different type of easy. But it's just like they were everywhere and it was, you could jump
They're
on.
They're accessible, and, that's
yeah.
for sure.
Okay, maybe not totally easy.
I remember the first time I went to a bus stop. Because, see, it's easy for us to think, like, right now, oh, well, a month ago, I rode the bus, and it was totally easy. Mm-hmm. But what about when you first got there?
True.
And I remember when I first got there, I looked up at the sign, and, like, all Chinese, just all these characters, and I didn't understand any of them. And even if I did, even mm-hmm. if it said it all in English, I wouldn't get it, because it'd be all these places that I didn't know what they were.
That's true. Yeah, I do forget that. And I only rode certain ones, because I knew...
So you got kind of in your routine,
my
too.
Routines. I knew where this bus number goes. I knew where this bus number goes. Yeah. But you and Katie were always really good about, like, figuring all of them out. But.
Yeah, it didn't take too long. I mean, within a few months, I kind of could ride buses just about anywhere in the city. And, man, it is so cheap and sometimes faster than the subway or faster than other ways of getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one kwai, usually. It's like 15 cents to ride the bus.
The subway is super easy, too, though, so it was nice to have all the options, you know?
Like, that's true.
Yeah. And if where you're going was right off that exit of the subway, it was awesome.
Although those last couple of years that we were there, I hardly even rode the subway. I rode buses sometimes.
And your bike.
I biked everywhere.
That's true. I didn't ride the subway as much that last year at all, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because there was a few times... There's a few places that's actually longer to take the subway because you have to go through three transfers to go 5 minutes. So I was like, no, thank you.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's really well done.
Yeah.
And it's great that they have signage in English. And yeah. I feel guilty sometimes because I'll hear an announcement on the subway in Chinese, and then I'll hear the same announcement in English.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll look around going, oh, who's listening to this in English? And there's 500 Chinese people on the subway and one... non-Chinese, that's me.
They did all of that for the Olympics, you know, like why the subway system is so nice now is because of that. So I'm like, and now that they're getting the Olympics back, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're not going to be there to see what they do for it.
No, we'll have to go back.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe go for it, yeah. Can imagine how expensive that would be to go watch the Olympics.
Right.
With that many people who would probably want to go.
It's exciting, though, that it's coming back.
That is exciting.
It's great for China.
Oh, they're going to have so many blue sky days.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was another interesting thing during the 2008 Olympics. A few of the athletes, through no fault of their own, came off the plane wearing masks already because they're just like, no, I'm an Olympic athlete. I need to have
good lungs.
Yeah. But they didn't realize, like, the pollution's probably lower in Beijing at that point than it is in their hometown.
Yeah.
Because they shut down everything. Yeah.
When they have all eyes looking on them, they're going to put on a face. They're gonna,
oh, yeah.
So
they turn that pollution up down to zero.
Yep. Like, all these buses can't ride on the road.
Right.
All of these cars are not allowed on the road.
Factories are all closed.
Shut down. Yeah. So it's interesting. But it's like whenever Obama came, we're like, yeah.
Yep.
Hey, Obama. Welcome, blue skies.
You've never seen such blue skies.
Yeah. So, I'm excited to see if I ever go back what it's going to look like because the Olympics might bring something cool.
For sure. I mean, they're already building trains to go out to certain cities.
Oh, yeah.
I went and visited, I think it's called Zhengzhakou, and it's this smaller city where they're going to do some of the skiing events.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool. You go, you just cross one mountain range that's close to Beijing. You can see the beginnings of it from the city.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you get on the other side of that, it's a totally different world. It's desert landscape. It's more or less Inner Mongolia at that point. Not quite. It's still Hebei, but
mm-hmm.
there's some small cities there in the mountains. And that'll be really cool. It'll be beautiful places for downhill skiing.
Yeah. I skied once near the Great Wall. That was fun. I'm not a really good skier.
You did?
Yeah.
Downhill?
I did
or or yeah, cross country?
No, just downhill. And we did, but I'm more of the pizza slice skier.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of turn my feet in and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Like pizza slice. I'm like the 5-year-old pizza slice.
I imagine everyone doing that though, in China.
Well, it was really interesting skiing there because you still saw some of those behaviors that you see like on the subway and things like that. Like there was a fight in like the ski line and like somebody like whacking the person with the, pole, the ski pole. And it was just like, you know, like bumping and like there's a lot of people. So it was really fun, but it was just like interesting to see like, how many people were out there, though, trying this, too?
Oh, it was crowded?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't as crowded as what people think is going to be crowded, but there was quite a few people.
Huh. Yeah, I never occurred to me that maybe I should go skiing in around Beijing.
You should have, yeah, it was fun. Hmm. But it's also another activity that's not the cheapest either. So,
right, yeah.
Because you have to rent, well, it's just like an activity anywhere in the world. You have to rent the skis, get to this, get to that. Hmm. But we didn't rent suits or anything like that. We just wore what we had. But yeah, it was good. And we actually got a cabin out there. So we stayed in a cabin and then went skiing the next day and then took a bus back. And the bus, public bus, was awesome. Like, took you right out to the ski lodge. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was cool.
Oh.
I don't remember. It was like 4 years ago, but yeah. Oh. I don't remember what bus or anything.
But that's good advice for anyone going in the winter.
Yeah, you can go skiing and take a public bus to the ski lodge.
Huh.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So we should talk about your recent transformation.
Ah.
What
transformation
happened?
Of my mind. I'm just kidding. So I...
Take us back to like 2 years ago.
Okay, so a year and a half ago, yeah, I decided to lose weight and go on a new, like, get healthier and, like, start learning how to change my lifestyle because I was kind of the easy eater. Let's go get the Kung Pao chicken and the double cheeseburger and whatever was easy, cheap, and whatever. So I decided to start, like, losing weight, and I ended up meeting trainers and like meeting this gym and like working out. And I lost, to date, well, 5 years ago, I weighed a little over 300 pounds. Now I weigh about 160, 65 pounds. So a little over 135 pounds.
You say it like it's nothing. Man, it's
funny because, I mean, you were there and I think, and during most of the weight loss, so I lost probably a little over 100 since the last year. Altogether, I lost about 140. And it's funny because you saw it and it was like, it was kind of slow starting and then it just kind of just started happening. And then we started forgetting what I looked like before.
Yep.
So it was like, because you were like there the whole time and it's my body. So I'm kind of, no, I'm still kind of like, oh my God, but there's still a little bit here. I need to lose this. And what's happening? Why is there so much extra skin? And I'm like, but I was forgetting how big I was because I've been home for a month. And my mom even said to me yesterday or the 2 days ago at the airport, you're so skinny, but I forget what you look like. Like, I can't remember how big you were. And it's funny because that just kind of happens. So I say it nonchalantly because I kind of forgot, like, but then I have to remember because I don't want to revert back either.
Yeah, right.
Because you could easily lose all this weight and then start to make decisions that you did before, but like not realizing that you're doing it more often than you should. So like this summer has been a little bit difficult because I'm at home and I'm visiting friends and we're eating out a lot and I'm still trying to order salads and this and that. But you still are like, oh man, that brownie from that favorite place looks so good. Or that pizza, I love that pizza, I want to try it. But you have to remember, okay, we're going to eat one slice. Like, don't eat four like you would have, you know. Like, because I have to always remember what I was before so that I don't go back. Like, remember, you were out of breath. Remember, you walked really slow. Remember, like, you had knee problems. Like, remember all of these things because if you forget, then you'll start kind of getting too comfortable and like start like making bad decisions and then easily go back and be like, forget how skinny I was. So,
sure.
Yeah. So I did all of that. And then, it was really interesting because, like working out and everything just really showed me like a different lifestyle. Like, it was awesome to kind of like start seeing like definition, and like when I was weightlifting and start seeing what I could get my body to do, and start like seeing how like powerful our bodies are. Like, to be able to lose that much weight, like, it means that our bodies are like strong, because the whole year I never got injured. I never got hurt from it. And like, being as heavy as I was, I could have easily hurt myself.
What kind of workouts did you do?
So we started off like a little bit slower of like doing like circuits, but we added, me and my trainer.
You got a trainer right away.
Yeah. So me and my trainer started off a little bit slower, and at the time I was seeing a Chinese trainer, and he was really patient. I loved him. We were doing circuits. So it was like, cardio with a little bit of weights, but it was like more like step ups with like dumbbells and just adding a little bit of weight to my body. When I started getting more, less beginner and like started losing weight, because when you're that heavy, you can't do some of those things because it's dangerous. It's dangerous for your body. Like, they can't handle it on your knees and things like that. So then I started seeing a foreign trainer who is a little bit more researched and had like a lot of ideas, and I was kind of hitting that plateau of, okay, I've lost like 80 pounds or something, and I'm not losing it anymore, and now I want to start like really learning how to do these more advanced things so that I can do it on my own, and wherever I am, to be able to find a gym and just walk in and feel confident of like going up and doing it. So then we started doing like circuits, but like with resistance training, where you count down when you're like, if you're doing a dumbbell, where you count down the curl and then you bring it up. And then he was teaching me how like each movement, each thing is like really important to remember, because if you do it the wrong way, you're not working out that muscle, or you're doing it unsafe. So it was really cool to like the Chinese trainer. I loved him, but his English wasn't as good. So, and then I started seeing this foreign trainer who could tell me everything and talk to me about all of it. Sometimes he talked a little too much, but it was good. And he taught me how to like, about like running and walking. And like, so I would do 4 days of weight training, and that was pretty high intent, like more intensity, more advanced.
Every week you did 4 days?
Yeah, when I could. There, I mean, obviously I'm also working, and so I sometimes would only do three, but I would try and do 4 days of weight training and then 1 or 2 days of cardio. And I would do high intensity cardio, where you like build your heart rate and you bring it down. You build your heart rate and you bring it down. So like interval cardio. And that was pretty cool, because I remember I thought I was doing it right. And then my trainer was like, from how you're describing what you just did, I don't think you should have been able to do it as long as you did. He was like, if you're doing it accurately, you should only be able to do about 10 to 14 minutes. Because he was like, even Olympic whatever can't do longer than that. Because you're like really, your heart.
So you weren't pushing yourself enough.
And I thought I was like, I was, because I couldn't breathe some of the times. But so he got me on there and he showed me, and I thought I was going to die. And I made him stop. I like stopped the treadmill and I was like, no, I said no. And then he was like, Morgan, you are physically capable. And that was nice to have the trainer there, because they would kind of get in your head and say, you are physically capable of doing this. Challenge yourself, do it. Like, you can do this. Like, your body is strong. Like, you've shown us that you're strong. And then the next time I did it the whole time, and yeah, I wanted to kill myself a little bit, but I did it and I survived it and I didn't stop the treadmill. So it was like cool, like to see like how your mind, it was all mind games, and like really challenging yourself and working with the trainer and like seeing like the circuits and like seeing like what weight training is. So yeah, I did that for a year. I don't think I went 1 week without at least working out once or twice. There was times, obviously, when my dad visited or somebody came, where I couldn't get all the days I wanted in.
Did you still even went to the gym when your dad was there?
Yes, but just like two or three times.
So you're dedicated.
Yeah, well, and my dad knew it too. It was so cute, because he came in, because we were going to do something right after, and I didn't want to have to go, because he was new to the city, I didn't want to have to go get him from my apartment and then go back out to the same direction. So he came and he was like, no, I don't mind like sitting in the gym. And I tried to get him to like get on a treadmill, but he wasn't really feeling it. So He's like, I'm 70 years old. I don't care anymore. But he was so cute because I'm on the treadmill, like, doing my running, and he's videoing me, like, going,
oh,
like,
no.
Ruth, look at her.
Oh, to your
to
mom.
My mom. So it was, like, funny. And then he was sitting in the locker room for, like, I just went in there for, like, 40 minutes, and he sat in the locker room drinking coffee. And one of the trainers actually said, so your dad just sat there. He didn't want to. I'm like, the man is 70 years old. He doesn't care anymore. And they're like, oh, he doesn't look it. And I'm like, he's like, they're like, oh, I get it. So I was like, yeah, he's just waiting on me, and he's really proud. So he's going to be patient with me and, like, let me go run for a little bit. So, yeah, I was really dedicated because I had a goal, and that's what worries me now. So I went, my goal was at the end of the year to get the skin removal surgery, because I was getting this, like, really heavy extra skin in my lower belly, and it was, like, really playing with my mind, because I would think, like, everybody would tell me how great I looked and, like, how skinnier I look, how much, like, I've lost and how much skinnier I looked and all these things. And, like, I know it was true, but my mind was also saying, no, I'm not as skinny as you think. Like, I'm hiding something, you know, like, I didn't know if it was fat or skin or, so I was starting to, like, meet with surgeons just to get an idea of, is this skin, is this fat? How much more weight should I lose? Like, am I at a healthy weight? Like, and it was starting to really play with my mind. So, like, I was, like, really, I think, treating myself badly because I was so hard on myself of go work out more, get rid of it, get rid of it. And then the surgeon said, you can't get rid of all of this on your own. Like, you can tone it as much as you can, but there's no possible way. So I, decided to, like, go and get the surgery. I was going to get it in Beijing, and then I kind of hit this, like, wall of, like, my trainer talking to me about, like, you should lose more, you shouldn't be doing this so soon, like, because I was going to do it in April, so I had time to recover before I flew home, and because I wanted to have a normal summer. And then I, talking to him, and then, like, kind of wanting to, like, live my life normally in Beijing, like, kind of, like, wanting to, like, just kind of not go through, because I didn't know what I was going to feel like or be like after the surgery.
Oh, right. Recovering there.
Well, we'll get to that in a second, but it's kind of funny. But then, so I decided, my friend introduced me to a surgeon in Budapest, and I started chatting with him with still every intention of still having my surgery in Beijing. I just wanted kind of his opinion. And he said, yes, you, from your pictures, most of this is extra skin. You should get rid of it so you can see more result after. So then I kind of stopped talking to him and still have planning on doing it in Beijing. And then I changed my mind. I said, okay, I'm doing it in Budapest. And then so and I was like, I can live through the summer with recovery. It's fine. And the funny thing is, like, I would go to Budapest. I actually had a friend there, which was awesome because I could stay with her. And,
yeah, that's great.
So I saved money on that. I did my crowdfunding like we talked about before and made good money doing that. Good
made
money.
Good money.
Well, I mean, like,
to pay for the surgery.
Yes.
Yeah.
I raised quite a bit. I had to pay a little bit on my own, which was totally fine. And then I have the surgery, and the next day I get up and I'm walking around and I feel fine.
Really?
Yeah. So,
all that worrying you did.
Because I had so many people telling me, like, that their parents or their best friend or these people had this surgery and they were in such pain and they felt like Frankenstein. And
oh, really?
Yeah. So I was really worried. And it was funny because then right after surgery, I needed to pee. So I was like, they were all nervous. So let me stand up. I'm like, just let me get up. I need to go to the bathroom. So, like, they all let me get up, and I got up, and I was a little bit sore, but it wasn't, like, excruciating. And even the surgeon came back to me and said, ma'am, I think you're a really strong woman. I have this feeling you're really strong, and you look great for one day after surgery. Please rest.
True, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. Please, like, I know your body is saying, like, you're not hurting, but you, if you want the swelling and everything, because I was swollen, to go down, then you need to rest. Like, don't overexert yourself. Because, of course, like, in my mind, I'm like, I'm not hurting, I'm going back to the gym tomorrow. And I was like,
right.
No, I can't do that. So I took, like, they said, like, 4 to 6 weeks, like, away from the gym. I had to wear, like, a bodysuit, and I'm actually tomorrow or today is my last day of the bodysuit.
Congratulations.
And that's
what to help the
to
skin
compress
heal?
Like, yeah, not even really the skin, it's kind of like to hold it in, like to, like, it's almost like a compression kind of thing,
like a girdle type thing.
Yes I've learned what that's like was like back then on the Titanic.
So Kate Winslet.
So I but it was funny because I go to get this like girdle thing, and it was a size small. I'm like, they're not. And it's a girdle, so it looks even smaller than like a shirt. So I was like, because I'm still in my mind, don't know what I actually am or look like. So I, you know, like I'm still trying to catch up with all of this. So I said, no, it's not going to fit. And it fit. And then she said, and it's going to be big on you in a few weeks when the swelling goes. I'm like, this size small is going to be big on me? What? It's just like been a whirlwind.
And is it big on you now?
A little bit, not so much. I mean, it just like sucks you in. So I don't know how big this lady thinks it's gonna get. Huh. I mean, it's like spandex. But I feel like after the surgery and doing everything, like everything happened so quickly. I flew to Budapest. 2 days later, I had the surgery. I flew home. I was leaving Beijing, so I was moving. So it was funny because I think the surgeons thought I was crazy because I had like 3 bags with me, which I had 3 bags after 5 years. Come on.
Right. That's your whole life. Yeah. Everything. Yeah. You get some weird looks in airports when you fly home from moving.
Because they think you're just visiting. They're like, man, that person's high maintenance.
Yeah. And, oh, you were just there a week and you brought all the...
I've been here 5 years, right. My friend. Yeah. So, and I'm leaving. So I, all this happened so fast that, it didn't catch up with my mind a little bit. So like I wanted to go shopping, but I wasn't ready. And
all for clothes?
I mean, I don't have very many. And
yeah, it seems like you've been clothes shopping almost nonstop. That's the downside of losing weight.
Yeah. But it's also like, I was really good about like only buying a few things. Like I would go to the store and I would literally get, one little dress and a pair of pants just to get me through to the next, you know? Yeah. So I was wearing the same, which for you is not a big deal, but for a woman, I was wearing the same jeans, you know, like the same. And it, but you also like kind of the reward is shopping. Like when you lose all that weight for a woman, because I can go to stores that I could never shop in, that I would walk past. So when I was bigger, I would go to the same places because I knew they had my size. I knew that I wouldn't struggle, you know, and I wouldn't feel bad about myself. So I would go to these same places and I would avoid these areas, or I would avoid the mall, really. And now it's like these places that your friends talk about or they say go to, they have great sales. And you're like, actually in bigger clothes are more expensive.
Well, being more material.
Skinnier is cheaper. Yeah. So, and like those stores that like H&M and Forever 21, you don't know them, but my listeners do.
You assume I don't know them.
Yeah,
I don't know them.
These stores are also they cater to people that like are on budgets, right? But they still don't sell it to all sizes. So.
Oh, okay.
So now I'm like trying to figure out like what looks good on my body, what's a good style. What I mean, I'm also moving to Morocco, and yeah. So the clothes thing is like a whirlwind, and then. Just like kind of like letting it all hit me and sink into me and say like, you've done a great job. Like, don't be hard on yourself, because I'll see the swelling and I'll be like, oh God, is it going to go away? Like, do I look fat? And like, it's just like a complex. And it's like, I didn't start to have the perfect body. So I also need to remember, like, I did it just to be healthy and be at an average size and feel good about myself and be able to do things that I couldn't do before. So I, that's what I have to keep reminding myself. I'm not a bodybuilder. Like I'm not going to be like a bikini model. Like, and I need to like not look at my body in that way. So
you look great. I mean, I mean, we lived together. So like day to day, I didn't notice, but then I look back at the old photos and I remember when we first moved in together and I'm like, ooh, you know, you're limping. You really had a limp.
Yeah.
And you had some knee problems. And
yeah.
I mean, we couldn't walk together because it's impossible for me to walk slow.
Yeah. I mean, so you would, I would just say, go ahead. I'll be there in a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we can walk together.
It's funny though, because I think that I could do some of the things that I could do in the gym because I was bigger, but I wasn't sitting down and doing nothing all the time. Like I was still slowly going to the Great Wall or like climbing the stair. I remember in Florence, they had this massive set of stairs, you know, like in hiking a little bit. I wasn't doing some of the hikes I did later on, but I wasn't just sitting. So my legs were strong, like, cause I had to carry around the weight and all.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
You know? And like I had, friends say like, you're pretty active for somebody of your size, you know? So I wasn't like as active as I am now, but like, I think that I was able to do some of those things because I wasn't like the stereotypical or what people think, the big person sitting on the couch, eating potato chips and watching TV, you know, like I did that obviously sometimes.
But. Yeah. But so. Still like I will put on a backpack that weighs 50 pounds. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that in a couple of weeks and walk around and that I'll get tired from that from like an hour and have to sit down. Now you lost 140. So from 50 pounds to 140 is a huge difference. That's 90 more pounds.
My mom says you lost a Backstreet Boy. It's also, yeah, it's funny because there's so many things now that I can, like even little things, like wrapping a bath towel around me. I couldn't do that before. I had to like, so if I was showering in like a place where other people were and I had to like try and like cover myself while I was doing things, I had to like, it would go halfway and then I would have to take my clothes and like cover the other part because it would be a little bit open. And I don't think anybody noticed I was doing that because it's not something I'm like proud about, but like I had to do that. And then I remember being able to like wrap the whole towel around and that was like a feat. It was
that's
like,
a good feeling.
Yes. And I could tie it not and feel normal. And also like closing the belt on the airplane. I couldn't. I used to have to get the extension thing.
Oh, they have extra belts?
Or because I'm super stubborn and I don't want I'm proud and I don't want people to know that this is happening. I would hide like a sweater there so I wouldn't have to ask for it because I would be super embarrassed about it. And I remember like one time an Indian guy we were going to India and this Indian guy saw me doing this and he was like, oh, we'll get help. And he just like waved the flight attendant. I was so embarrassed. I started crying. I don't know why. I was also kind of like tired in a bad mood, but I just started crying and the guy didn't know why I was crying. And then I was like, don't worry about it. You didn't do anything wrong. But I was just like,
you saved your life.
Yeah.
There was heavy turbulence.
True. I was super embarrassed about it. And there was one time in college that I won the skydiving trip. And at the time, I actually had lost some weight, too, because I did Jenny Craig at one point. I always did these fad diets. And I was probably like 215 pounds then, 215, 220. And the weight limit was like 230. So I was like, oh, I'm still good. I can go. So I won the skydiving trip. I go there, and I'm sitting there, and I brought my friend because I won for two of us. And they're all getting her ready and stuff, and I'm still sitting there. And I'm like, oh, whatever, and I'm just chilling. And then I realize they come over, they have like my director, the people at the airport or whatever that place is, don't want to tell me. So the director comes over and tells me, Morgan, they said they don't feel safe flying with you or diving with you because you're, a heavier girl. And I was so embarrassed. I just like ran out of there. Like I just like ran. I like booked
that
it.
Sucks.
Because I'm like, people are staring at me. And like, and I'm just like, I run out and like Chris comes out, he's the director of this program and he drives me home and I'm just like bawling. And I remember for days, like I didn't want to do anything. I just felt so bad. But that was my problem was like these things would happen and I would feel so bad at myself for those few days, but I wouldn't do anything about it.
Right.
I would just start going back to my normal self. And it was like, it's weird like that we do that to ourselves.
Yeah.
We feel bad because I know I'm not the only one that does this, but then we don't do anything about it.
Yeah, you gotta actually do something to make a change.
Yeah, take action.
So what made you actually take action?
It's funny because people ask me that. There's no real reason, to be honest. Lori, a good friend of mine in Beijing had asked me, like, hey, I'm going on a diet. Do you want to join me? She only had to lose, like, 20 pounds. Like, she wasn't, like, a big girl.
Yeah.
So I had to, if I was going to do it and do it right this time, I had to do it my way, you know? Not, like, her, whatever she was going to do, because she could do less, you know? Or do it for a shorter amount of time. And I said, she was doing, like, this, like, Fit Girl app, which is cool. They give you all the recipes and, like, they tell you, like, a little workout to do every day. But I said, I need a lifestyle change. I need to stop, like, doing, like, I did Jenny Craig, I did Atkins, I did Weight Watchers at one point. I've been doing all these things. I want something that, like, I just know, like, I should eat eggs or oatmeal or whatever in the morning. 3 hours later, I should eat this. These are some options. And, like, these are lifestyle things. I could eat nuts instead of chips, and I could drink this instead of that. Not just, like, this app or this, like, diet that, like, I have to count calories and I have to, stuff that you can't, like, maintain for the rest of your life. You know, like, that, it's daunting and it's tiring. So I said, I just want something that I just go to the grocery store and I know what to buy, and I buy it and I make it and it's fine. I'm not counting anything. I'm not weighing anything.
You know, you're just buying real food.
Yeah, just buying, like, good food.
Like, not stuff that some company made for you.
Yeah, go to the produce section instead of the freezer section. Go to the produce section instead of, like, the cheeseburger, what is it, hamburger helper section, you know? Like, so I just wanted that. And then, so I think my drive was, like, I had sleep apnea that I wasn't taking care of in Beijing because my machine blew out. And then I didn't have, like, well, you know me, I don't really run to the whatever to take care of
things. Not so motivated to get a new one, huh?
Well, and I didn't know that if I could in China, I probably could have figured it out. But so I was, like, not taking care of my sleep apnea. So I wasn't really breathing well at night. I had two bad knees at this point because I tore my ACL when I was in college playing soccer. And then I tore something. We don't know what, but it's completely fine now. But I did something to this knee, like, right when you met me.
Yeah.
And 3 years ago. So it was, like, two bad knees. And, like, people were, like, honest with me later on, being like, Morgan, like, I don't know if you would have hurt yourself. Because the move, like, what you did was not strenuous. Like, some people tear things when they're athletic because they're playing a physical sport or they're doing something really physical. When I hurt that knee, I was climbing on top of the stage.
Oh, wow.
So I wasn't even, like, doing anything, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that, like, it could happen instantly with anybody, but, like, I know that a lot of it had to do with my weight. So I was like, I'm 30 years old. I shouldn't be hurting my body. I shouldn't be, like, out of breath walking up, like, a flight of stairs. I shouldn't be any of this. So, yeah, I just needed to change. And I knew that. It just took me a while to finally do it and do it for a long period of time and, like, finally just change my habits. Yeah.
That's great that you did it. I mean, I guess there's probably going to be people listening to this who are also in the situation you were in and have been through all the diets. And what would you recommend to them?
Just, like, you know, like, don't go with fad diets, like, change your habits. Like, just eat good food. Like, and you can't eat all day the good food, but, like, just find, like, the natural fats, the good oils to cook with. It's also just, like, healthier for your body because, like, my skin looks better. My hair actually is less dry. Like, it's interesting what healthy foods can do for everything, you know? So just eat healthy. Like, don't worry about counting every calorie and worrying about, like, how much, like, if you eat, like, a bunch of green vegetables and a good protein for a lunch, then that's good. Like, you don't really have to count it. Like, find good seasonings and just, like, enjoy the food. Healthy foods can be really good too. So,
sure, it can be delicious.
Actually, some of the best meals I've eaten in the last, like, year or two have been, like, healthy meals. So,
well, like, and I stopped drinking soda years ago. I used to drink a lot of soda.
Me too.
And eventually I gave it up.
Actually, and just, like, changing some of those habits, you can lose a little bit of weight at the beginning.
Right away.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you had some low-hanging fruit.
I was probably drinking 2 or 3 Diet Cokes a day. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes I would drink regular Coke if they didn't have diet because I had to have it.
Right.
So also just, like, changing some of those, like, to find this kind of equivalent that makes you happy too. Like, I started drinking soda water instead of Coke because I realized it wasn't the Coke that I loved, it was the carbonation. Mm-hmm. So I found a carbonated drink that is good for you. And even my trainer said you can drink as much soda water as you want. It's not really great for your teeth, I heard, but
oh, it's not.
Can't make everybody happy. Yeah. Everything happy on your body.
But yeah, it's kind of same thing with me. I drink a lot of carbonated water now, mm-hmm. but no more soda. But if I do have a Coke, I'm like, oh, this is, it's just so intense. It used to be just this normal flavor, and now it's incredible sweetness.
And, yeah.
So your entire palate changes when you change your diet.
It's
and so
true.
Those foods that maybe would have seemed bland, those healthy foods, after a while, they become delicious.
Yeah. And actually, now my stomach is different. It can't handle some of those greasier foods.
Oh, really?
And I think that's why the last few days, like I've been saying, my stomach feels so bloated because I've been like picking a little bit at like these like Wisconsin things. And even in where I'm from, you know, like of the thing, the fried fish or the, it's like the
fried cheese curds,
like trying it. I'm not eating the whole basket, but like I could tell like my stomach is like fighting against it now. It doesn't love it. So. I want to try things. I'm not going to give up. And that's another thing is like, you're not saying no to all the things you love. You're just now doing it in moderation.
Yeah. If you had come here and said, no, I'm not trying cheese curds because I have to keep losing weight. I would have thought, oh, that's a little
excessive.
That's a little unhealthy attitude. And that's going to come back to bite you.
Yeah. Cause almost the problem is like with Atkins diet, like, and I've done research on this. The problem is you cut out carbs. Like, pretty much on the Atkins, you don't eat carbs. Mm-hmm. So you cut out all these carbs, but then you start eating carbs again because you've lost your weight, and you start eating the carbs again, you're actually gaining back more weight and quicker because you've now taken it away from your body, and now your body doesn't know what to do with it. So they, like, taking something completely out of your diet is not healthy. It's actually worse for you. And finding good carbs is smart too, like sweet potatoes and brown rice and quinoa and things like that.
Sweet potatoes are delicious.
They're better than regular potatoes. Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I've learned that, and like I use avocado for a binder instead of like mayonnaise. Like if I'm making chicken salad or tuna salad, like I would use avocado instead of mayonnaise, and it's delicious. Yeah, with a little bit of dry mustard.
And what about the workout side of it? Because that the eating side is kind of half of what you did, and then the working out.
So the working out, I think, is what like really got like really amplified my weight loss. A lot of diet is a huge part of it, but for me, I think workout like even helped me like even more. And I would say if you're really heavy, if you really want to lose a lot of weight, you need to work out 4 to 6 days a week for a while to get like the majority of the weight off. And then you could start slowing down, maybe doing like 2 or 3 days of like, you know, just to keep it maintained, right? But if you're trying to just lose like 10 or 15 pounds or just start being healthy, then yeah, just finding like going and doing any activity, yoga, like jogging, anything that makes you happy, like doing that 2 or 3 times a week and like just starting to make healthy eating habits, then that's good for those types of people. It all depends on, I think, what you want, like if or what you need. Like
well, the key you need, is doing it.
If you need to lose a lot of weight, then you need to put in more effort. If you need to just kind of start, you just want to start being healthy, then just kind of changing some habits, you know.
But it sounds like getting a trainer really is what solidified it for you. That like,
I needed somebody there to like hold me accountable and push me, and I felt confident with this person, and I felt like it was an appointment. Like a doctor's appointment, you know?
Like you have to go.
I have to go. I've set this. And we would make a schedule pretty much at the beginning of the week because we couldn't keep the same every week. I wish I could have, but I couldn't because I do love routine. But it was usually like, you know, Monday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, or Tuesday, whatever. And we made that schedule, and I was there. I hate canceling on people.
Sure.
So, and there was a few times, but not very often. And you know what was interesting? In the last year and a half that I did this, I never got sick once.
Yeah, so there's
being
so many things.
Being healthy is so many things,
yeah. It improves your life in so many ways.
Yeah, I mean, I got like a few times where I got like a little bit of a sniffle, but never anything long. So, and when I was unhealthy, me getting sick was like the plague because it wouldn't go away for a while.
Yeah. So your immune system even got stronger.
Yeah, so. Yeah, so I would say I know some people are following me and they want to know like what I'm up to or like what the update is. It's like right now I'm still a little bit swollen. So I'm not showing off any bikini pictures yet. But it's anybody that wants to do this should do it. Like maybe not as intense as I did it, because I do think I got a little obsessive. But I, you know, the few people I've talked to about that, they said it was a good obsession. Like I wasn't obsessed with cocaine or something. So
also great for weight loss.
If you want to lose weight, cocaine. Just kidding. Just kidding. Don't do that. So I would say like if no matter what, and I started like when I came to Beijing, I was in a low place of my life. Leaving Beijing, I'm completely opposite. Healthy, I have savings, all these things. So I tell anybody, honestly, if I could do it, because I was super lazy. I always found a way to not do something, to be able to do it the easier way. I was super lazy. I was like, just grabbed whatever I could along the way without having to worry about like cooking or grocery shopping, whatever. So if I could do it, and I believe anybody could do it. And I'm not trying to say like, oh, like tell me that I could. No, I really was. It was a big deal for me to do it. I lived that way for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So if I could do it, I definitely think anybody can. And I also think that my story of like how I was when I went to Beijing and how I left also shows that like you can't settle with what's happening in your life. You don't have to go travel and like make the drastic decisions we've made of living abroad for the rest of our lives or for however long we're going to do it. But like just find things that like make you happy and give you some passion in life and like that. Because some people get stuck, you know, like I have friends that now are like jealous of my life and I'm like, well, find something that like kind of gives you that excitement, you know? So
definitely just try anything new.
Yeah. Like go try paddleboarding. I don't know, like anything, yeah. Like whatever you have in your area that can kind of just make you feel like you're alive and that you're doing things. You're not settling for whatever is happening. If you're not happy with your job, figure out how to either make it better or get a new job.
Right. You're like, not in one of those countries where they don't let you leave.
Yeah. Like leave and go start a new career and whatever that you're interested in. So.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah. It's just, I think if your life is horrible, it's absolutely, if it's a zero on a 1 to 10 scale, mm-hmm. then it's, you got nothing to lose. It's easy to make a change, but let's say you're at like a 3, like your life kind of sucks, but it could be worse. Mm-hmm. There's something to say about safety. Like people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Even if it's not good, maybe if they left, it'd be like an 8. Mm-hmm. But maybe it'd be a 0 or back down to a 1. And so I think it's hard. It's hard to make a change when your life kind of sucks.
Yeah, it is. And it's hard to make a change when you don't really know what you want. You know.
Well, so. That's true too.
So you're like, oh, I don't really like my job, but what else would I be good at? Or I don't really like this. What could I do about that? It is hard to figure it out, you know? And like, also like sometimes I wonder, do I want to be a teacher my whole life? And because there are so many other things that I was passionate about or interested in my earlier 20s and whatever. And I just like, now I'm like, but I got my master's in this. I spent $40,000 in school for this degree. And you know how hard it was for me to get certified in the state of Virginia? I'm not giving up on this career yet, you know, like, cause yeah. I worked really hard to get that. So it's hard to kind of be like, I'm throwing that away and I'm trying something new. But the other good thing is if I decided to try something new, that degree is always there and I could always stay certified, you know?
So. Yeah. You could come back to it.
Yeah. So
I could see you as the next Richard Simmons, like not training Olympic athletes or anything, just regular people.
I'm pretty funny.
Yeah, you're like so outgoing and funny.
But I don't think I'm as charismatic. I'm as crazy. As
I don't know, Morgan. Don't sell yourself short.
But I can get there.
I think you're pretty damn crazy.
I always funny because I was saying to my trainer when I was in the gym one day, it would be so funny. I don't want to be a trainer. I want to start a gym. And I want to walk around going, you got this, girl, smacking people in the butt. Like, yeah, keep going. Like, that's what I want to do.
I could totally see you doing that.
Starting a gym and just, like, making people feel good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but it was really cool. Like, it was cool. And to see people who are inspired by it. But I will say it's interesting to see people talk to you about it. And you I have to remember that not everybody and how I was, that I would listen and not do anything, or I would argue against it. Oh, I don't have time to go to the grocery store that much, or oh, I don't have time to meal plan.
Yeah,
or
excuses.
And so I get that sometimes, but you have to throw away the excuses and just find how it works for you. Like, maybe not exactly how I did it, but find the parts of it that work for you, because the excuses are what are holding you back from doing it, right? And I was all about that too. Like, ugh, I work, I don't want to go anywhere after work, or being big is great, just stay big.
That's one hell of an excuse.
Yeah.
Huh?
I'm beautiful no matter what. Yeah, you just have to like throw it away and just say, like, if I want this, then I'm gonna go after it. Yeah, so I don't know, I've thought about going into maybe some training just for like in part-time, like, because a few people have told me you would really like be good for people who are like, were like you, like people who are average, like you would understand them. So like somebody like Troy, love you Troy if you listen to this, but somebody like Troy is like a really fit guy, and like his body, sense of body image is different from what, how an average person looks at it. He sees you have to have abs or you're fat, you know, like he sees it like that, and he would tell you that. So don't care.
So I'm fat.
You're fat. So this guy's not fat. So, like I would see it differently. So I would understand if somebody can do that right away, or like somebody feels bad about themselves, or how to motivate them, or, you know, that's what some people think. So maybe I'll get into it. I just have to get better at the gym myself. There's a lot more aspects to it than people think if you want to be like a trainer.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Writing down all the stuff and like knowing like all the things. So.
Well, anyway, so. It's just something to keep in the on the back burner,
yeah.
Just in case.
I've thought about it, so we'll
see.
Kiss
Morocco doesn't work out.
I'll be maybe a trainer in Morocco. I already met one, so I already have my trainer in Morocco.
That's great. I'm glad you said that, because it'd be easy to revert back to old habits because you are starting anew.
Yeah, and it's also like I'm nervous about like new job, start going to the gym and like figuring. But if I just do 2 or 3 days a week at the beginning, at least it'll.
I think so.
Be good. It'll be good. Not as hardcore as I was, but.
That's all right. But I think however you start there, however your first week there is going to define your whole 2 years.
Yeah.
And so I think it's anytime you start some brand new thing in life, it's really important to get started on the right foot.
Well, I've already emailed him and told him when I'm coming, so maybe I'll meet him first few days.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, I've already been, like, also I can start working out next week, and I've already been looking up plans on things I can do before I leave for Morocco, so I'm going to get back into it because I loved it, and I don't want to go back to who I was, so.
Awesome.
Yeah. There we go.
Well, Morgan, it's been awesome talking to you. We're all super proud of you.
Morgan update.
Yes, there it is.
And you'll get my bikini picture in the near future.
Oh, okay. We'll look forward to that.
If I decide to wear one. Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe we'll get another update in the year or something.
Yeah.
See how you're doing, how it's going in Morocco. Talk about potentially, maybe we'll visit, maybe, who knows where we'll be. I don't know.
Well, if anybody's like in Morocco and I know you or I don't know you, just know.
There you go. In Casablanca.
Casablanca, yeah.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, Morgan, for coming on the show. That was awesome, and I hope this is going to be inspirational for a few of you people listening out there. For more information about Morgan or anything else that I'm up to, you can always go to my website, 1000daysbetween.com. That's the number 1000daysbetween.com. I'm going to search for some pictures that I took of Morgan, just to embarrass her a little bit, of when we first moved to Beijing, and then some, obviously some pictures of more recent times. And I hope you guys stay motivated, stay healthy in the future, and I'll see you next time.